This is Josh Cohen and the home team, streaming live worldwide on YouTube on ESPN West Palm Play. Presented by Hard Rock Bet, Florida's official sports book. This is ESPN 106.3.
It is the home team for the ride home. And like the HOV lane says on I-95, we ride 4 to 6. We are halfway through. It's just about 10 minutes after. We're 10 minutes into the cocktail hour. We're a little late. We're a little behind schedule today, C-Cat.
Yeah, if we should extend the cocktail hour longer, right? If there's one hour you want to be longer, it's the cocktail hour.
Right, or start earlier.
Yes.
Or start earlier. That works even better. Remember, this show is available as a podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, just click Josh Cohen and the home team. Hit subscribe. It's free. Won't eat up your memory, any of that. And you'll be able to listen to the show whenever, wherever you want. As soon as we're done, it's broken up. Hours 1 and 2. Commercial breaks are cut out to streamline the whole process for you. Do that. Speaking of subscribe, on YouTube, subscribe to our ESPN West Palm Play channel. You can watch us on TV right now. You can see my Army Man outfit today, well, at least half of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm dressed very, very Army Man, and with fading my hair, just cutting my hair yesterday.
You seen a really big backpack, and then you are almost in the service.
I look like an extra from G.I. Jane. Yeah. I do indeed. That's C-Cat. I'm Brother Love. Frank Sinatra said this.
It's the cocktail hour. For me, it is right now.
It is the cocktail hour, and today it is proudly being presented by F1 Miami. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
37 days until the 2024 Formula One Crypto.com Miami Grand Prix, happening the weekend of May 3rd through the 5th. It's a three-day event. It is art. It is music. It is world-class cuisine. It is, of course, the greatest racing in the world with the biggest stars. It is cocktailing and celebrities and an enormous party over three full days. It's also the season's first sprint race in the Americas. Come see the greats like Max Verstappen, who, by the way, had like a brake fire last weekend, ended his win streak.
Oh.
So, yeah, he's back out for revenge, I imagine. Lewis Hamilton. It's his final year with Mercedes, and then he goes over to the Ferrari team. Choose from a variety of ticketing options, hospitality, luxury, all the way down to simple grandstand and track passes, each with fantastic track views that put you right in the center of the action. Not only can you hear it, not only can you smell it, but you can feel the power. Mm-hmm. You can feel the horsepower. It's unlike anything else. And by the way, general admission passes start from just $150. Join us for the 2024 Formula One Crypto.com Miami Grand Prix, May 3rd through 5th. It's 37 days and counting. Tickets available now at the letter F, the numeral 1, MiamiGP.com. Again, letter F, the numeral 1. When I say numeral, do people know what that means?
Yeah, that's like on your keyboard on the right side.
It doesn't. Yeah, you don't type out O-N-E. You just hit the number 1. F, numeral 1, MiamiGP.com. For the 2024 Crypto.com Miami Grand Prix, an event that really, I mean, in typical Miami fashion, they just had to go to a different level.
Yes.
You know how Miami is. Nothing mm-hmm. is truly what it seems. The luxury yachts that you can watch the race from are standing above, you know, fake water. It's painted there on the grounds. It's like a Vegas kind of a deal. But it's not. It's Miami. So it's elevated with cabanas and swimming pools during the race.
Get the best of both worlds. You get the best of F1, and you get the best of Miami culture.
It's wild. It's wild is what it is. But it's consummately Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a seen and be seen type of a scene. And if you get a chance to go, I would highly, highly recommend that you do just that. All right, we're into the cocktail hour. Time to talk a little National Football League. Because in South Florida, here in South Florida, West Palm Beach, Palm Beach is the Treasure Coast. We are not necessarily Dolphins country. We are not, certainly not Buccaneer country or even Jaguar country. We're NFL country.
Yeah.
The people that live here are fans of the Jets and Giants and Cowboys and Bills and Chiefs. Fans of the Eagles. They're fans of Miami, Tampa, Green Bay, Minnesota, fans of football. So I know it sounds like we do a more of a national theme type of a radio show, because we do. We're not going in deep on Mike McDaniel's offer to OBJ. Does it fit the roster? should the Dolphins sign OBJ no matter what, find a way to get it done? That's just not what this market is. So we talk about the big stories, and the big stories are obviously the Bears and what they're going to do. We know this. They shipped their quarterback, which means they're looking for a quarterback. But will it be Caleb Williams or will it be Jaden Daniels? I'm going to tell you how that got a little more interesting today in just a second. First, let's take a listen to what a former NFL quarterback, a former Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, had to say about Caleb Williams and about playing for the Chicago Bears. This is Robert Griffin Jr.'s Jr., a.k.a. Robert Griffin III. Last week on Caleb Williams and the idea of allowing himself to be drafted by the Chicago Bears. Take a listen.
Caleb Williams should pull a Eli Manning and demand that the Chicago Bears do not draft him number one overall. After everything that's happened with just Justin Fields, can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? This is the organization that has my best interest at heart, and they're going to help develop me into the player that I want to become. Caleb Williams is on record saying that he wants to be legendary. He wants to rewrite history, and he wants to be the best that he can possibly be and win the most games he can possibly win. After the Bears took Justin Fields, the 11th pick in the draft, and turned him into a sixth round pick in the 2025 draft by trading him to the Pittsburgh Steelers? Can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? Yeah, this organization is going to help get me where I want to go.
That was Robert Griffin III last week talking about Caleb Williams saying he should pull a, quote, Eli Manning. By the way, not the first to do that. John Elway refused to go to the Baltimore Colts. He went and played minor league baseball for the Oneonta Yankees instead of going to the Baltimore Colts, who then became the Indianapolis Colts. To Robert Griffin III, I would say,
what the hell did you just say?
Bro, you're doing too much. You're doing too much. You're trying too damn hard. You're trying really, really hard to do too much. Someone must have gotten your ear and said, you got to be relatable. And he said, okay, that's fine. And they said, you got to be memorable. And he's like, I can do that. I can do that. I'll race a seagull. I'll race a Seahawk on the field. And I'll jump in the swimming pool in my suit in Jacksonville during Monday Night Countdown. And I'll say things that are kind of ridiculous and borderline stupid. And I'll go way over the top because I noticed that some of the guys I kind of came in with are passing me. I noticed that Ryan Clark is now on another level. I noticed that Andrew Hawkins is getting some run. I noticed that some dudes that just came out of the NFL that are entering into broadcast that might damn well steal my job. I don't envy the role of the former athlete who becomes the analyst who then got to develop into a personality. Shannon Sharpe is showing you like how it can be done. Charles Barkley is showing you how it can be done. They're the exceptions, not the norm. What the hell is Robert Griffin III talking about when he says, do the Chicago Bears really have my best interest at heart? The answer to that is no, jackass. Chicago Bears do not have the best interest of Caleb Williams at heart. You know whose best interest they have at heart?
Their own.
The Chicago Bears. That's right. Because when a team drafts a player, they're not thinking, how can we help this player become the best player and best prepared for life? What they are doing is drafting a player that can help them get to where they want to be, not where that dude wants to be. What are you talking about? RG3, what the hell are you talking about? This sounds like one of those takes that gets people talking so then you can go on other shows and defend it and explain it and what. But it is not the Bears' obligation. First of all, it's a draft. This is not a free agency, period. You can make that claim if Caleb Williams were a free agent. He's not. He's a college kid who's entering the draft. And the draft means that's who took you, that's where you go. If you don't want to play, that's fine. Sit it out. And the next year, see if somebody else doesn't want you. Go ahead, do that if you want. You're smirking. Why are you smirking?
Oh, because our fellow walked past and I gave him a wave. But I also think there's, I don't know if it's entirely manufactured to try to get clicks, try to get attention, because RG3 was in the situation, right? He was a quarterback who had a lot of potential, looked really good when he was a rookie.
Sure did.
And a lack of protection on his offensive line possibly heightened the chance of him getting hurt, and get hurt he did as a Washington Redskin. So I think that he's putting himself in the shoes of Caleb Williams and is thinking, I wish I knew better. I wish I had more control of my destination.
But he's talking about it as if Williams has a real say. If it's a free agency situation, is that organization have my best interest at heart? Well, still, they're going to have their best interest at heart, but perhaps they're trying to prove to you. The Bears don't need to prove anything to Caleb Williams. If they want to take him, they'll take him. They don't need to prove a damn thing. They don't need to. And the idea, still, it bothers me. Do they have my best interest at heart? No, they have their best interest because you're working for them. It's their goals. It's their vision. You're a piece. You're a cog. You're not the team. You're not the organization. But this is, I don't even want to get into the whole player empowerment and all that's fine. All that's fine. It is what it is. And it is a draft. And that means you get picked by whom you get picked. If you don't want to go, sit out the year. And then you can wait till next year. And then maybe then somebody else is going to want you instead. Good luck with this idea of, do they have my best interest in heart? I have no idea where that comes from, but it does not apply to the draft. It applies in very small part to free agency. Sorry.
What you just said, I mean, there's precedent for it with the Eli Manning situation, right? Threatening to sit out the year. A team would not want to waste a number one pick on somebody who is saying that they will sit out the year if they are picked. So that is control, isn't it?
For some that don't know, back when Eli Manning was coming out of Ole Miss, his father, Archie, and they had decided they absolutely positively did not want to play for and work with the San Diego Charger organization. It did not fit for them on any level, and so they were not interested in it. And so what happened was they, Chargers, drafted Eli and then simultaneously worked a trade with San Diego, with the Giants. The Giants drafted Phillip Rivers. And so there was a swap that day. People forget, Kobe Bryant was drafted by?
Who was it, the Raptors?
Charlotte Hornets.
Hornets. Got that wrong.
Raptors weren't in existence yet, to my knowledge. They're just about to come around. The RG3 doing too much. Trying too hard. Jumping in the pool with your suit on and being outrageous. And it's like you just can't find that groove, you know, because other guys came up. You know, it's like Carson Daly at MTV was going to be Ryan Seacrest, but then Ryan Seacrest happened. And now Carson Daly's on The Voice and all that's great, but Seacrest became what Carson Daly thought. Tiki Barber thought he was going to be what Michael Strahan became. It happens sometimes. RG3 is pretty good at what he does. This is kind of stupid. Some other stuff recently has been a little dumb. And now I learned that there's breaking news, and it's from ESPN and sources close that say that ESPN is pursuing Jason Kelce. Pursuing him with great vigor and effort to secure him as an on-air analyst and potentially to be on Monday Night Countdown. It is said that he would be considered to replace Robert Griffin III on Monday Night Countdown and other properties. So sometimes you can feel the heat and your agent talks to you, and so you're like, I'm going to get out there, I'm going to get more involved. And that may be the case. Why are you smirking on Jason Kelce in Monday Night Countdown?
Well, you said this was released, this was per ESPN. They said this.
They're never going to.
Just making sure. So that kind of sounds like someone released in his camp that tries to get Fox to give a little cash and say that with great vigor, you said, right? With great intensity, the searches for Kelce.
Sources claim, and sources in instances like this are always right, that Jason Kelce is being pursued hardcore by ESPN to come and join them, to not worry about other offers and opportunities, come join them and be a part of Monday Night Countdown and other entities and properties that they have. Why?
Well, I was just saying that it's trying to become a bidding war. I think the RG3 point that he's making with the Bears is a fair point to
make. There already is a bidding war. If you're talking about for Jason Kelce, there already is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fair point to make if it wasn't this year's Bears team, right? The situation the Bears have set up for whoever they draft, number one overall, whatever quarterback they put in that spot, he's got a lot of weapons. That defense is not that bad. Last year's Panthers were much worse.
So what do we want to do? We want to blow up the draft. We want to say, no. Now we live in an era of millennials and Gen Z that want to decide for themselves, and they feel entitled and they're empowered. And that's not how it works. The draft is the draft for a reason, and the draft works, and the draft isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
No, I understand that, but if you fail to adapt to that, if you fail to understand the power shifted a little bit already, it's not going to shift the complete way the players would like or incoming rookies would like, but if you fail to adjust, fail to adapt, you might get left in the background. If you feel the need...
I don't understand what you're saying by that. What do you mean by that?
If the Bears don't now go to Caleb Williams, theoretically, if he was having second thoughts about joining
if
Chicago...
If he don't want to play there, then fine, don't play there, then pick somebody else. So what?
So now you're saying he does have
control. Why do we act like this kid is some kind of a generational, transformational... Is it that slow of a news cycle?
Well, because the draft analysts have told us that, right? The people that watch more film than you and I have ever had in our lives have been telling us that.
I got Lewis Riddick today, who's there with Jaden Daniels, saying that, heads up, Chicago might be taking this kid instead. It might should be. Let's not forget, Lewis Riddick is a television analyst who came from the front office, personnel, and scouting. I'm going to take Dean Thomas's word on strategy matchup in MMA because he's like the best in the world at it. I know it's hard to believe sometimes because he's our guy. And I'm going to take Lewis Riddick's read because he sees and knows what the rest of us don't. And that's his special gift, developed skill, talent as an evaluator of talent. Let's not forget, he was the first dude that said, they got a Ferrari in Kansas City. This Mahomes kid is special, and I'm telling you, going to be special. And everybody said, what are you talking about? He's sitting behind Alex Smith, who's playing well, and he said, no. You'll see, wait and see what I mean. The tangibles, the intangibles. He was the first guy. The Ferrari Mahomes thing came from Lou Riddick. Lou Riddick isn't someone from an organization that's trying to manipulate the draft, because this is the time of year you can't believe anything that anyone from a team tells you. They're all playing poker, and none of them want the others to know the cards they're actually holding. It literally is a game of, I'm going to try and be deceptive and deceitful and bluff you, because why would I want you to know what we want to do? Why? Caleb Williams, to me, doesn't appear to be some kind of a quarterback that is what you would look back and say, that was a franchise-changing player draft decision. He's going number one in all likelihood, maybe not. And with that said, if he doesn't want to be there, that's fine. We don't want anybody here who doesn't want to be here. Beat it, kid, because there's lots of others that we have on our draft board. Quarterbacks may go 1, 2, 3, 4 this year.
Yeah.
You know the last time that's happened?
When?
Never. Never. There's never been a draft in which quarterbacks went 1, 2, 3, 4. And by the way, this may be a weak-ass class, too. This may be one of those 2021 classes. Where's the 2021 class of quarterbacks? You know who's still where they were? Trevor Lawrence. Where's everybody else?
Traded around.
Where's Zach Wilson and where is Mac Jones? And where is... Nobody worked out where they went because it just... Who knows? You don't know. Anyway, RG3, doing too much, young man. Find a different angle. I'm sorry. I get it. Jason Kelce may get brought in. It happens. But do they have my best interests at heart? I would hope not. If the Bears have Caleb Williams' best interests at heart, Bears fans should be very concerned.
It does seem like the closer, every single year, the closer we get to the draft, quarterbacks just start rising up the draft boards.
Yeah, because it's a sexy position.
They talk themselves into these guys like J.J. McCarthy, who was not a sexy option for the NFL 12 months ago at all.
No, but what happened was they ran the table. They won national championship. He managed games. When plays needed to be made, he made plays. Don't forget, they were a fourth and from their season ending in the Rose Bowl. Remember?
Yeah.
They needed. He made plays, but I guess his workouts, his pro days, have been head turning, not scratching, but head turning. Have you ever participated in a pro day?
No, I have not.
A buddy of mine was being drafted back when I was in school, and I was present for the pro days. And teams working out and GMs shaking hands, making small talk, running shuttle runs. And it's an interesting kind of a thing because it's not a combine. And obviously you've put enough down on film, you know, during games with pads on to show what kind of football player you are. This comes down to almost like being a zoo animal where everybody's just kind of watching you. And how do you interact and what kind of confidence do you carry and your ability to own the room in a way. It's strange. Caleb Williams, maybe I'll be dead wrong, but I doubt it. I think that everyone in that organization prays that he's anything close to C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, absolutely. With what
because he ain't C.J. Stroud.
Well, we don't know that yet. He
ain't C.J. Stroud.
As a prospect, he's greater than C.J. Stroud, isn't he? C.J. Stroud was not drafted number one in his own class.
Correct. And Tom Brady was 199. Which meant 198 dudes were deemed to be better and more valuable than he was, including my buddy Doug Chapman, who went 111 spots before Tom Brady.
I think saying he's not C.J. Stroud
is by the way, wasn't the buddy of mine that I went to pro days that I participated with. It wasn't Doug.
It's a weak argument. That's kind of easy points, right? What obviously, he's not C.J. Stroud yet because he hasn't had a chance to play in the professional league of football.
Right.
So
maybe he'll be greater than C.J. Stroud. But today, he's not. C.J. Stroud doing what he did in the league last year, greater than what Caleb Williams did in his league last year. C.J. Stroud's league, significantly tougher, more difficult, and better than Caleb Williams' league. True or false? Anything I say they're not correct?
No, it feels like an apples to oranges argument. And here's
what it is. One guy played a whole lot better than the other guy, correct? One guy was more impressive than the other guy, right? And the guy that was better did it against tougher competition, right?
Sure.
Yeah, that's all. That's all. Comparing quarterback to team success makes no sense. Like, quarterback wins should not be a viable stat. What does the team winning and losing have to do with what I did? But who led the league last year in touchdown to interception ratio and yard? I mean, C.J. Stroud is the example of keep looking. There's a dude in there that might. You never know what you're going to get. Honestly, you never know what you're going to get. How many number ones, twos, threes, fives have we gotten that just didn't pan out? And then how many times have we gotten a Brock Purdy, Tom Brady I mentioned before, and dudes that went super late that proved to be, well, exactly what you needed.
I also think that the perceived value of Caleb Williams right now is a supply-demand problem where there are also a lot of good prospects that are good. Like you said, one, two, three, four likely is going to happen where you have a lot of options. If there were not the two, three, four prospect, no Drake May, no Daniels, and no McCarthy, maybe Caleb Williams, you wouldn't be saying this about Caleb Williams right now. If he was the only option for a first-round sure-thing quarterback, which no quarterback sure-thing, but the best option.
I think what's going to happen is Caleb Williams goes to Chicago, and then 4 weeks in, people say, couldn't we be where we are right now with the kid we sent to Pittsburgh? Couldn't we be with Justin Fields where we are now, or even further his development? Are we sure of that? I don't know. You never know. All I do know for sure is that RG3 doing a little bit too much. Meanwhile, the general manager of the Chicago Bears, he was on Pat McAfee's show yesterday, and he was asked about RG3's comments about the Bears and the Bears culture and why it doesn't necessarily mesh for Caleb Williams and would he be, in their best interest. Take a listen to what Ryan Pohl said.
It pisses me off a little bit, to be honest with you, because we were hired to break a cycle. The same thing when I was in Kansas City, Coach Reed, all of us were brought there to break a cycle, and we did. And no one talks about those days anymore. It's all about what they are right now. So I really believe we're about to break this cycle and get this city in a really good situation and win a lot of games. So the past is the past. Like, I don't worry about that at all. It's about where we're going.
Who was the last Chicago Bears truly great NFL quarterback? Don't give me Canadian Football League, Doug Flutie. Don't give me college player. Who was the last great Chicago Bears professional quarterback in the NFL?
Sid Luckman.
Sid Luckman is correct. And that's what, 1949?
Long time ago. Never saw him play.
It's like 80 years ago. Yeah. Probably.
Not Rex Grossman?
No. Not Jay Cutler?
No.
No. Not Jim McMahon with the 85 Bears that won that Super Bowl. He was a game manager, a big personality who was a manager of a game. I mean, they had Walter Payton in a defense, and they didn't need a whole lot more. And Willie Gault. I remember the 85 Bears. I remember the 85 Bears. That's how good I am.
So we say in the past, polls being like, it does not matter if we haven't had a great quarterback in so many years, that I wasn't here 60 years
saying,
ago.
I'm here, and Eberflus is here to break what's happened, to change what's happened. So don't focus on previously, because we're new guys on the job.
Yeah.
So you can't hold us what the previous guys did. That's what he's saying there. Coming up, when we return, our countdown to Sunfest continues. Do you remember this artist participating? Greeny claimed that UConn, that the UConn men's basketball team could do what? And then he kind of walked it back. Plus, C-Cat has drama, or did have drama, with his former dog sitter. Notice I said former dog sitter, because I believe they may have been relieved of their duties. We'll get to all that coming up next. Bud's Chicken and Seafood, though. I like to get into that coming up next. That's what's for dinner tonight. Mm-hmm. Bud's Chicken and Seafood is what's for dinner tonight. Crispy, crunchy, juicy, golden brown, fried perfection, and I'm talking about tenders made of tenderloin. USDA classified tenderloin. And all the dipping sauces. How about some comfort food for the soul? How about the best fried chicken voted by you, the people, once again? The Palm Beach Post Awards just came out, and you voted Bud's Chicken and Seafood, your favorite fried chicken, yet again. The greatest fish sandwich in town. Everybody knows that. Seafood Fest for a limited time. Happening. Crab cakes and coconut fried shrimp. Fried oysters. Oyster dinner. Mac salad. I told you. Made in house, like the potato salad. My boy Thomas, who's a big boy, says best potato salad on the planet. And if you're a big boy like Thomas, you've had potato salad all around the planet. And you also know how to eat.
Well educated.
Indeed. Family owned and family operated. They are the American dream. You love America? I do too. You love American business? I do too. Like to support the little guys that take on and beat the big guys? That's what we do with Bud's Chicken and Seafood. And you may go there based on those principles and those values. But I promise you, once you taste Bud's Chicken and Seafood and those tenderloin tenders and that fried chicken and that seafood, you will start voting again with your taste buds and make it very clear. Six locations, Palm Beach County. Go to budschicken.com, budschicken.com. It's Bud's Chicken and Seafood. Yum, yum. We're a little out of sorts there.
Yeah, we got better.
You want to do it solo? It's Bud's
Chicken and Seafood. Yum, yum.
See, you own it. You do it so much better than me. You really do own it. We got a busy next segment coming up, so stay locked. It is the home team for the ride home on ESPN 106.3.
This is Josh Cohen and the home team, streaming live worldwide on YouTube on ESPN West Palm Play. Presented by Hard Rock Bet, Florida's official sports book. This is ESPN 106.3.
Ah, yes, one of the great ska bands of our time. Real Big Fish, banger after banger, hit after hit. They, as we continue our countdown to Sunfest, they represent day 37 until Sunfest returns. 40 years of music festival on the waterfront. Real Big Fish performed at Sunfest 1999. At least that was one year we highlight. May have played other years as well. Sunfest is where the music meets the waterfront. You know that. 40 years under the sun. Friday, May 3rd through Sunday, May 5th. Get your tickets early at sunfest.com. Headliners this year: Friday, Nelly, Shaggy, Billy Idol, The Fix. Saturday, Cole Swindell, Dylan Scott, The Revivalists. Sunday, Revolution, Modest Yahoo, Third Eye Blind, Dashboard Confessional, and many, many, many more. VIP options, hospitality options, or just right there in GA. There's not a prettier setting for a music festival than along the waterfront in downtown West Palm Beach. Make your plans now. The lineup is incredible. It is a streamlined Sunfest, and There's nothing like it. It's my favorite event of the entire year, barring none. It's my favorite event to participate and attend here in South Florida. It is Sunfest. Go to sunfest.com as we count down 40 days. We're day 37, featuring the music of one time, at least one, and probably more, Sunfest act, Real Big Fish.
Is that Third Eye Blind's going to be there this year?
Sunday.
My co-worker, confidant in high school at the go-kart track I worked at, loved Third Eye Blind so much, he had a tattoo of their logo on his forearm.
Really?
Yeah. Seen him like 30 times in concert.
I've seen them. I've seen Third Eye Blind at Sunfest. I've seen them a couple times. And I saw them definitely at Sunfest in 2017. 2017, 2018. We'll check the math on that. But it was recently. It was whatever year Drake had a big song with Kiki, Do You Love Me? Because my t-shirt actually said that.
Okay. I think I got the year 2018.
Sounds about right.
I think
right.
I got it.
Sounds about right. Mike Greenberg. Greeny on Get Up, he claimed, what about UConn? Remember, the tournament returns tomorrow. We are in the midst of March betness, but tomorrow we've got the Sweet 16. The sound quality is terrible. You hear that?
No.
YouTube's the worst. Yeah, sound quality's rough. That is the NCAA tournament theme from last season on. Okay, now it sounds a little better. I like the old one better now that I think about it. Sound quality-wise, I know we got to update with the times, but sound quality-wise, tournament returns tomorrow, and we got ourselves a Sweet 16 matchup that's a rematch of last year's national championship game. How strong does Greeny actually think UConn is? Here's what he said the other day.
If they were in the NBA's Eastern Conference, would they make the playoffs? I think I'm looking at teams that are 8 games under 500 in the play-in right now. They're better than
I'm not doing that. Come on. I'm not doing that, Greeny.
And Orlovsky.
I'm not doing that. No.
Listen, I got a bone to pick with Orlovsky.
No.
He suckers me into a bet. Like I got a bet. He's betting me dinner at the Polo Bar just because I can get in and he can't.
Wow.
And the next thing you know, it's a 9-1 odds, and he's like trying to make me a bet on dinner and all of this. It's ridiculous.
Come on, Jay, Will.
UConn's an NBA team.
They're not. They execute like one, but their talent level, I would not say, would be able to make the play-in.
The mere fact that we're having this conversation,
possibly,
I think, says it all.
They had no chance.
Is that the Polo Bar on the corner of Fifth Avenue, right across the street from the Peninsula Hotel?
I'm not well-versed in New York geography.
I thought you worked in the city.
Yeah, for one summer. I went to and from the Port Authority to Avenue of the Americas.
I remember one time, here comes a name drop, so brace yourself. I remember one time we were gearing up to ride over to the U.S. Open, and at the time, the sisters Williams would stay at the Peninsula Hotel. They had a trade agreement worked out with the hotel. They make a little appearance, a little cocktail before the tournament began in like the lobby or whatever. And so they're staying there, and the paparazzi knew. And so I'm there to catch a ride with Venus and my boy Dave and Dave Witt, who was Venus's coach at the time, in the tournament vehicle over to the U.S. Open Tennis Center. And I don't know if it was match day, because practice days you talked on the ride, but match days was dead silent on the ride over. But anyway, I'm standing out front waiting, and I see these photographers are like hiding like behind cars and behind like bags of trash on the street. And I'm like, the hell are they waiting? Like, who's here? So I just stand there hanging out. And then Serena came out and she was like, hey, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm waiting to catch a ride. She said, oh, and she had a little paperback book in her hand about femininity or something. And I was like, oh, I read that. She goes, yeah, it shows. And I remember the photographer dude kind of popped out from the trash. He was just ka-chong, ka-chong, like taking his pictures. And right behind it, that's that little polo, like Ralph Lauren polo bar. But I didn't know that was like a private club. Because Greeny's talking about he can get in there, but Jay Will apparently can't get in there. So Greeny's actually flexing right there about how he can get in places.
I like how he ended it with, like, the fact that we're having the conversation. You started the conversation and no one else is like going along with you at all.
The fact that we're having the conversation. Meanwhile, if UConn played in the NBA, they would go 1-81.
Yeah.
Maybe 2-80, because teams would, like, they'd lose like 35 games and somebody would be like, look past them. And they'd win a game. Like, what? And it might happen at the very end of this. They would not win more than two games in an 82-game season. They probably wouldn't win any. They're still college kids playing against NBA players. People don't understand the distance and the difference. I mean, the leap between the best college and the worst NBA is significant.
If their starters were able to play every single minute of every single game, they might keep it within 20. If someone gets in foul trouble, You're taking bench players in college against NBA.
You're in trouble.
Like, there's no argument to be made there.
Yeah, you're in trouble. That's the case. Meanwhile, Greeny clarified his comments. They are in written form because they were on the radio. He, on his radio show, cleaned up a little bit about what he said.
Thank God.
And he said, quote, "I'm more than willing to admit that I've said more than a million stupid things. It just bothered me yesterday because I knew I was kidding. And maybe, look, I grant, if it wasn't obvious enough that I was kidding, that's on me. That's not on anybody else. For what it is worth, if I need to say this out loud, I do not believe that UConn would make the playoffs in the NBA," end quote. Now you're laughing. Why?
It sounds like he said something really horrible. The way how he's long-winded explanation for just a take that is a little bit off base. Like, listen, dude, you didn't say any bad words.
No, okay. To me, he sounds annoyed. Like, do I really have to explain this? Do I really have to tell you that I was joking? He sounds annoyed to me.
Once you get into the hot take culture, right, you got to answer for him, dude. You can't have your cake and eat it, too. You can't do that. Sorry.
I don't think he meant it. I think he was clearly joking. You're not sure?
I'm not sure. I think that he sat down, watched UConn just storm their way through the first weekend. It was like, that's a playoff team in the NBA.
Time for March Madness. It is that bracket challenge that we invented, and it is the Elite Eight. Eight meaning ATE is in Eaton, is in food. Today's bracket is the Elite Eight of cereal. We're not doing healthy cereal. We're not doing cornflakes. We're not doing grape nuts. We're doing the good stuff.
Not the store brand either.
The number one seed, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Woo-hoo.
The number two seed, Fruity Pebbles. That's a surprise. The number three seed, Reese's Puffs. The number four seed, Cocoa Pebbles. How about both Pebbles in the top five seeds?
Deserving.
The number five seed, Captain Crunch Crunch Berries. The number six seed, Captain Crunch Peanut Butter Crunch. The number seven seed is Golden Grahams. And the number eight is a Blue Bud. Is one of those legacy programs, Frosted Flakes. One of the old school originals. No Apple Jacks, no tricks. Certainly no life. Sorry, Tina. Tina, get a life. Tina thinks that life's the best cereal ever. The first matchup is the number one seed, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, against Frosted Flakes, the eight seed. Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch is UConn women's basketball, the legacy, the Gino Auriemma champion teams, and this year's UConn team as well. CTC is going to be hard to beat.
So they're advancing. Then we've got Fruity Pebbles versus Golden Grahams. I'm going to call for an upset here. No, I'm not. Fruity Pebbles is amazing, especially the milk after you're done.
I'm just going to take your word for it. I've never had Golden Grahams, but I'm going to assume Fruity Pebbles is better. Yeah.
Fruity Pebbles, amazing. Then we've got Reese's Puffs, the number three seed, taking on Captain Crunch Peanut Butter Crunch, the six seed. Who you got there?
When I played high school baseball, I brought a bag of Reese's Puffs to every single game and had it in the dugout for everyone to just grab a handful as a dugout
sanitary.
Snack.
Was this during pandemic?
No, this is beforehand.
Okay.
And everyone loved it. I loved it. Got to go Reese's.
Yeah, Reese's Puffs. Peanut Butter Crunch is amazing. But this is the battle of the peanut butters.
I was going to say, styles make fights, right? This is the same style.
Right, and this is the old school peanut butter versus the new school peanut butter. And the new school is the Reese's, Puffs, but that's got chocolate as well. That beats. Plus, Captain Crunch and its subsidiaries will scrape and destroy the roof of your mouth.
Really?
The berries and crunch berries will do a number on the roof of your mouth just as Captain Crunch itself will. And the final matchup, Cocoa Pebbles versus Captain Crunch Crunch Berries. That's the 4-5 matchup. And this is strange because the 5 seed is actually a 1.5 favorite. According to Hard Rock Bet. Who you got?
Cocoa Pebbles. I've never been a Captain Crunch guy at all.
Cocoa Pebbles is great. But I got Captain Crunch Crunch Berries. This is where we need a third member of the show today.
Yeah.
This is where the number doesn't work out. We can't go further. We're at a stalemate right there. But there's our Elite Eight of the March Betness of our fantasy brackets with Hard Rock Bet. Now legal in Florida. Florida's only legal sports book. These are all going up on my Twitter at Josh On Air, and you can vote accordingly, and then we will match it down all the way to C. I'm going to tell you right now, you know who the defending national champion is? Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Of course, man.
Goes without saying, doesn't it?
It'd be a miracle if it gets to a single-digit spread in any of the matchups.
No. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is a 22-point favorite in every game and every round of our Elite Eightness with Hard Rock Bet. Your bracket's broken. It sucks. It's over for you. But don't worry, because Hard Rock Bet, you're going to have action on all those games tomorrow night, Friday night, all Saturday and Sunday as well, as you get down in this tournament. And you can bet them live. And you can right now bet who's going to advance to, you know, further stages of said tournament. Plus, of course, you're betting everything else that you want, from Miami Open tennis to racing and golf to UFC. Best part is your bracket is broken, but guess what? With Hard Rock Bet, your first bet doesn't have to be. It's unbustable. If you don't win your very first bet, you will get up to $100 back as a bonus bet to try again. So whatever you bet on your first bet at Hard Rock Bet, if it doesn't win, you get that exact amount back as a bonus bet up to $100. Bet 75, get 75. You see how it works. It's easy to sign up. It's fast to deposit, fast to withdraw. You can use PayPal. You can use Venmo. Use your credit cards and more. What I want you to do is download the app now. From the App Store, Google Play Store, at hardrock.bet. The app is simple, but perfect for experienced players. Remember, Hard Rock Bet is offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you're concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. The two-minute warning is next. The home team on ESPN 106.3.
This is Josh Cohen and the home team, streaming live worldwide on YouTube on ESPN West Palm Play. Presented by Hard Rock Bet, Florida's official sports book. This is ESPN 106.3.
Nobody loves a family-owned business more than I do. Nobody appreciates what it takes to become successful more than I do. Like St. Lucie Battery and Tire. Since 1970, the home of honest and reliable service. Those are two words that mean a whole lot, especially these days. They've built 17 locations now, West Palm through the Treasure Coast, for your oil changes faster and cheaper than the dealership where you bought your vehicle. For batteries for every type of vehicle, from cars and trucks and SUVs, of course, but jet skis and golf carts and side-by-sides. To tires for everything. Family-owned and operated matters. There's integrity. There's accountability, most of all. So if you need anything major, minor, service, repair, maintenance for your vehicles, it'd be crazy not to go to slbt.com, make an appointment. West Palm to the Treasure Coast to make it simple for you. They're going to help you protect your second biggest investment, your vehicle. And they're a great family, and they are appreciated. Go to slbt.com, St. Lucie Battery and Tire, the home of honest, reliable service since 1970. They are the best. Checking real quick the Twitter debate poll results. Do you believe Shohei Ohtani's claim that $4.5 million was stolen from him by his former interpreter without his knowledge? Yes or no? How'd they vote?
No, 75%.
No, 71%. Do you believe Ohtani's former translator hacked into his banking without his knowledge and consent? Yes or no?
No, 80%.
No, 69%. Who do you believe was actually doing the betting? The translator or Ohtani himself?
Translator, 65%.
Ohtani himself, 53%.
Woohoo! Jury's out.
Jury's not out. Jury just voted.
Oh, okay.
Time for a quick dad joke. C-Cat, go.
It's a good one here. Did you hear about Tony the Tiger's murder?
No. It was great?
Police suspect a serial killer. That was too easy. Yeah!
Big fans. I did that for you out of pity.
Okay.
I'll do that for you graciously. Coming up next, it's the boardroom with Ken LaVica, Amber, and Ian. And then it is Suns and Nuggets every day above ground.
It's a good day.
Say goodnight to the bad guy.
Good night, bad guy.
Great night. Home team time, just about 6 p.m.